May the 17th, 1684. I haven't seen any sign of the Indians for over a year, but I've been in constant fear of them returning and taking me by surprise. I've been sleeping badly, dreaming terrible dreams. Then, last night, I had another sign that I am not as alone as I thought. A gale blew all yesterday, with a good deal of thunder and lightning. I woke from a troubled sleep, fancying I'd heard the sound of a gun being fired out at sea. Racing to the top of the hill, I saw a flash of fire and heard a second shot. I wondered if it might be a ship in distress. Dragging together all the dry wood I could find, I set my bonfire ablaze to guide any boats towards my island. The wind was so fierce that the fire soon died out. But when I heard another gunshot, I built up the fire again and worked even harder to keep it alight. But when dawn came, I could see only the wreck of a ship on the rocks. Still, there might be survivors. The sea was much calmer now. Surely I could risk a voyage in my canoe. But when, paddling hard, I approached the worst of the currents, I hesitated. Despite my desire to help any survivors, despite my terrible need to see a human face, I knew I was heading for danger again. I remembered the horror of those currents and how I'd thought I'd never get back home again. I paddled my canoe up a little creek and sat on the shore, trying to work out which currents would safely take me to the wreck and then return me to the island. I finally decided to keep to the north. After sleeping the night in the canoe, I returned to the sea, and in less than 2 hours I had reached the wreck. The ship had stuck fast, jammed in between two rocks. The waves were gradually breaking her up. Was there no one left alive? But as I hove close to, a dog ran out on her deck, yelping and crying. When I called to him, he jumped into the sea, swimming to my canoe, and I hauled him aboard. The poor creature was almost dead from hunger and thirst. I gave him bread and water, and he ate like a ravening wolf. It was a joy to care for him. I then went on board. The first sight I saw was two members of the crew who had drowned in the galley. They had their arms around each other. Water had penetrated everywhere, and the provisions were ruined. All I could salvage was a small cask of brandy, several muskets and powder, a fire shovel and tongs, two brass kettles, and a copper pot. There were also various chests. At first I thought they contained only some clothes, but hidden among them later, I found three great bags of pieces of eight, six gold doubloons, and some small gold bars. Yet I value them less than the dog who is my new companion. May the 10th, 1685. I have kept constant watch for the cannibals, and today they returned. This morning I discovered no less than 5 canoes pulled up on the shore on my side of the island. There was no sign of their occupants. I clambered up to the top of the hill, taking care my head didn't show. I was sure that if they discovered me, I couldn't take on so many. With the help of my perspective glass, I saw there were about 30 Indians, and that they had lit a fire and were preparing to roast meat. I wondered if the meat was human. I got my answer soon enough. As I watched, the Indians returned to their canoes and dragged out 2 men. One of them was immediately knocked unconscious. As I watched in horror, the Indians began to carve up his body, cutting him up in pieces for cooking. While they did this, they left the other victim standing by himself, ready to be hacked to pieces. Perhaps they thought he wouldn't dare try to escape, but suddenly he started to run with incredible speed along the sands towards me. 3 of the cannibals immediately took up the chase. He swam the creek that lay between his pursuers and my cave. Despite the fact that the tide was high, he must have been an extremely powerful swimmer. Only 2 of the Indians could swim. The other paused by the bank and then ran back to his fellow cannibals. I suddenly realized that I had to save this man's life. I raced down my ladder, grabbed my guns, took a shortcut through the trees and sprinted towards him. "Follow me," I shouted to him. Of course he didn't understand. Instead he seemed terrified. Then I rushed at the two Indians. The first I knocked down with the stock of my musket. I didn't want to fire in case it brought the others over the river towards me. But his companion aimed a bow and arrow at me, and I was forced to shoot him in the head. At the sound, the Indians on the beach looked towards us. Would they follow? But the noise seemed to fill them with fear. They fled to their boats and immediately began paddling furiously. Clearly they had never heard the sound of gunfire before. I turned back to the Indian I had rescued. He stood stock still, staring down at his two fallen enemies, too frightened to move. When I signaled him to approach me, he trembled as if he had been taken prisoner and was about to be killed. Slowly, however, he walked towards me. Then he knelt down before me, kissed the ground, and, taking my foot, set it on his head. I took this to mean that he was promising to be my slave. But I had only stunned the first Indian with the butt of my musket. Just then he began to come round. My new friend glanced at my sword and signalled to me that he needed it. I handed it to him, and he slowly walked over to his enemy and with one blow cut off his head. Together we buried the bodies. Then I took my new friend back to my cave, where I gave him bread, a bunch of raisins, and some water to drink. When we had eaten, I made signs for the man to lie down and go to sleep, pointing to a place where I had laid a heap of straw and where there was a pile of blankets. I have decided to call him Friday, for the simple reason that today is Friday. He is a tall, handsome fellow, and is probably about 26 years old, with long black hair, a high forehead, and a round, plump face. After all these long years of loneliness, I am overjoyed to have a companion at last.